curated to encourage leaders at all levels to be their best selves and to bring a fresh, curious perspective to today's issues in business and culture. Our goal is to equip listeners with the resources to always move forward.
Welcome to the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. I'm Carla Soans, and I am on the line with Ron Kitchens today. How are you, Ron?
I am awesome.
Well, I am glad to hear that you are doing awesome today, and I am as well, and excited to talk to you about today's topic. We have a topic on, I think it's been on your heart because it made it to the top list of topics and it rose to the top quickly for the podcast. And so we're going to talk a little bit today about finding courage and drive from adversity and pain. And I know that this is a topic that really resonates with you and probably resonates with a lot of people right now. But will you talk a little bit about, you know, your history? I know you had some stories in the book that really talked about how you were able to find courage and really forward momentum from situations that really were painful and situations that at the time you were in a very adverse situation. Can you talk a little bit about one or two of those for the listening audience?
Sure. I think, you know, this topic rises because we're coming out of this whole coronavirus craziness and the impact it's had on our economy. And it is really easy to get down, and rightly so. Bad things happen. It is okay to feel bad about that. But almost always there's a lesson in it that's going to make us stronger. And it's hard to see in the middle of it. But, you know, every red light, every stop in your life, every time you stop at that red light, you know there's going to be a green. Sometimes it's hard to remember that when you're stuck in traffic, but our life is a lot like that. We see these negatives and we forget that there's a green coming for us. And one of those that's most important to me and our organization's built around a lot on this story is this idea of family first and the kind of crushingness of an unstable economy and, you know, job losses. And even if you're okay, the fact that your neighbor's at risk makes you feel icky, makes you just feel like survivor's guilt, if you will. And so I'm reminded then for me and probably a lot of our listeners, when I'm in that mode, what I do is I double down on work. I think, well, if I'm vulnerable, if I'm at risk, if jobs are going away, I just got to work harder and I got to, you know, my family has to suffer. And that isn't what success looks like. And it's, you know, I think in interviewing people, it's much more still a male reaction than a female, but because a lot of us were raised like little boys and we're the only ones that can be the take care of our families. We know that's not true, but someplace in our brain that's still hardwired in that lizard brain. So, you know, I think in these times, we have to remember, just like during the quarantine times, get with your family. You know, first thing you got to do is keep yourself together, keep everybody warm, keep everybody around you taken care of. And then just remember, we got to keep riding this thing out. Now, I stole that idea from Kevin Cronin, the lead singer of REO Speedwagon, but I think it still works and reminds us to have courage. You know, I can remember I had a bad boss one time, and I tell the story in the book in Uniquely You, you know, about this idea that his idea was to lead with maximum anxiety. He wanted people at their maximum levels of stress and fear. And what I learned out of that was that that was the exact opposite of what people needed and wanted. And the truth is, showing people compassion and love and helping them learn from mistakes. I think I shared this. I think you and I actually just talked about it. I'm not sure we even talked about it on a podcast, was that, you know, I had a subsequent boss who, whenever anybody would leave the organization, whether they quit or they had to be fired or something happened, the first thing he did was have a team meal. He'd get everybody on the team, sat down, we would share a meal because he wanted everyone to reset where they were, to bring that anxiety level down, to learn from, okay, here's where we are. And when I asked why he did that, he said, well, to be honest, it's because I know accidents take place in our organization when stress levels get high. And what I want to do is bring down the stress level. And the best thing I can do is get everybody together with the meal. We can laugh a little bit together. We can celebrate the person who left. Even if they were fired, there were things that they did or things that maybe I as a boss didn't like, but other people on the team celebrated them. And so coming around these ideas that there were bad things, but we can turn them into good. They don't define us. And I tell the story again in the book, and it sounds pretentious to say that, but you know, I guess I told my best stories for a while in there, but you know, we talk about the idea that when I was in high school, kind of my first serious girlfriend, I'm at her parents' house, her house for dinner, and we have pork chops. And I grew up in a family where if meat had a bone, you used your hands. Now I know that's silly today, but that's how it was then. So we have pork chops and I gnaw on the bone using my hands. And afterwards, you know, our father pulls me aside and says, you know, you can't do that. And I tell the story about, you know, how I was mortified and how it was one of those things that clearly hit me hard. I'm still, you know, 40 years later, 35 years later, anyway, telling that story. But it was what I learned from that moment of embarrassment, mortification. Man, I can remember feeling like I was at the bottom of the barrel and I didn't deserve, you know, as the old thing goes, this is why we can't have nice things. I felt like that. But then, you know, to have Carol Collins, who was my best friend's mother, pull me aside and say, you just got to observe what other people do. Just slow down a little bit. Use this moment to learn what greatness looks like. And that lesson has served me my whole life. So, you know, we're all going to have hard times. I think as Henry Ford that said, you got to remember that an airplane takes off against the wind, not with it. We're going to have hard times. It's our reaction to that. You know, I love the line that, you know, we don't fear the storm. We are the storm. And that might seem trite with all that we're going through, responding in our nation and globally. But the fact of the matter is, scar tissue is always stronger than new skin. And so people need to understand that these scars are earned. Use them to accelerate yourself.
Ron, those are really powerful stories. And I know you have led several teams. I know the team at Southwest Michigan First is just one of the many teams that you've led through times of adversity. And you've always encouraged the team to really get into a growth mindset. And I think you really, and the team really embraces like lifelong learning and continuing to grow, and being in that growth mindset does really help during those tough moments. What are some of the tips or ways that you have or can help encourage people? You know, if you think about things this way, it will help you get into that growth mindset where you're much more likely to be able to rise from an occasion with courage and drive versus stay in the situation with adversity and pain?
I think it's a great question. Adversity and pain are inevitable. You are never going to set a personal record, a world record. You're never going to exceed your own expectations and where you're at today if things are easy. You know, great runners don't learn to be great runners always being the fastest person in the race. So we have to understand that we want the adversity. We want to run against the wind. But pain is part of that adversity, but suffering is optional. And I think it was Haruki Murakami who said, maybe that was the exact quote, pain is inevitable, suffering is optional. But it's this idea that I want the pain. I want to work hard. I want to go run and have my lungs hurt when I'm done because that's what it looked like to get stronger. But if I then lay around and moan about it and think I'm somehow a victim of it, then I'm letting suffering into my life. You know, I can remember, as a high school football player getting a rock in my shoe at practice and kind of limping along and Paul Skeens, who was the head coach, saying, what's the matter? And I said, I got this rock in my shoe. And he just looked at me and said, well, fool, take the rock out. I was thinking the pain was part of the experience. The workout was the pain. The suffering was my choice. And I think as leaders, sometimes we have to convey that idea that hard work is supposed to be tough. It's supposed to be hard. But if we're suffering, that's a choice that we make. And then, I think also this idea that we are all going to have anxiety. We're all, the future is not laid out for any of us. Frankly, if you're not having a little anxiety about the future and feeling a little cumbersome about it, you probably aren't setting enough goals and not stretching yourself enough. And so we want to push ourselves, but what we have to do is understand that, anxiety should be a fuel for our efforts and our greatness. It should not be an enabler to stay on the sidelines. And too many people use anxiety to say, well, I don't know what I'm going to do, so I'm not going to do anything. Instead of saying, I think as Dr. King said, you don't have to see, the entire staircase. You just have to take it one step at a time. And that's what we have to use our anxiety to do, to motivate us to take one step at a time. Great catalyst speaker that we have, Michelle Poehler, did 100, wrote a book recently about the 100 things she did that she was scared of. And I think that's what resonates with me is she had anxiety about all these things that in some cases was just crazy, but we all have crazy anxieties that we've got to push ourselves forward with, not push ourselves to the sideline. And then it's this idea that, we also, if we're in a growth mindset, it's okay to slow down a little bit. It's okay to say, I'm feeling scared, I'm feeling anxious, but it's not okay to stop and pull back again. You can live in the best neighborhood in America on the prettiest street with the greatest asphalt, but if you're spending all your time driving around in the cul-de-sac of that neighborhood, the view out the window is pretty, but it never changes. And you never get anywhere. And so we can't allow our anxiety to put us in a cul-de-sac in our own lives. Organizations don't thrive. We don't thrive. Families don't thrive. Just going around that cul-de-sac, no matter how pretty it is, just because we're afraid to get out on the highway. At some point, you were made, what's the old saying? Ships are safe at harbor, but ships weren't made to stay in the harbor. At some point, you in your life, your goals, your organization are made to get out of the harbor, to get out of that cul-de-sac and thrive. And then know that, this too shall pass. We're all feeling raw. We all, whether we experience a financial outcome or negative outcomes, our neighbors did, whether it was just this idea. I mean, can we remember today? We were all consumed by the fact that was there going to be enough toilet paper, and there's this, I remember going to my local Trader Joe's and there not being any toilet paper. I remember seeing a line for a company where there's a 4-hour wait to buy toilet paper. And those are insane, but we won't get over those raw places for a while. We won't get over those metaphorical blisters on our psyche. But know that we won't get over them for a while, but we will get over them. This too shall pass. So we can't just stay in this time of emotional rawness, hoping that tomorrow will be like it was yesterday or 2 days ago. It won't be. It's a new world. Leaders go lead, and we've got to accelerate ourselves through that.
I think it's so important for leaders to try to stay in that growth mindset. And some of the tips that you gave are so important. And, you know, in this time, it does feel like that, you know, time heals all wounds. It's just so important. And I think the great Maya Angelou said, you may encounter many defeats, but you must not be defeated. In fact, Amen. It may be necessary to encounter the defeats so that you know who you are, what you can rise from, and how you can still come out of it. And I think the important part about what she's saying is that you can still come out of it. And I think in the heat of the storm, when there's a lot of adversity and a lot of pain involved, and we've all been through painful situations, whether that's in our personal life or in a, you know, working situation, or certainly with world events, but it's so important to just remember that you will come out of it. And you will come out of it better if you can stay in that growth mindset and learn from it and keep things into perspective about where you can go. So thank you, Ron, for sharing some of your personal stories and just giving some the listening audience some of those tips on how to stay in that mindset. Is there anything else that's on your heart for the listening audience on this topic before we end today's session?
I think just, you know, one of the things that I talk and write a lot about it is this idea of appreciation. So every time you're feeling vulnerable and raw and scared, and you know that boogeyman in the back of your head's telling you you're not worthy and it's all going to fall apart again, think about the great lessons you've learned. Think about the people who have invested in you. Think about that person, living or dead, that you'd love to have dinner with tomorrow, to tell them about the impact they have on you, and then write them a letter, write them a note, write them an email, post it online. But use that appreciation to accelerate your own healing, your own success, and inspire others. So, you know, if it's somebody who's already passed, post it on your social media. Hey, I was just thinking today about the impact my grandfather or Abraham Lincoln or Maya Angelou had on my life with these words, and I want to share them with you, and I want to thank them, and here's the impact they had on me. Use this time to accelerate yourself with the good deeds and the impact that others had on you.
Well, listening audience, I think that's our call to action from Ron Kitchens, to think about the appreciation that we have in our hearts today and to do something about it in these coming months by documenting it, writing it down, and sharing it with others so that we can be that positive reflection of what's going on, and we can help pull others out of adverse situations as we pull ourselves out as well. So Ron, thank you for that call to action in another great podcast, and I look forward to talking with you next week.
Awesome. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for joining us. We hope today's conversation inspired you to keep moving forward on your leadership journey. To connect with Ron, you can tweet him at Ron Kitchens or send him a message via ronkitchens.com. If you are listening via iTunes, please leave a review. It really helps us connect to you, grow our impact, and keep moving always forward.